It's week 7 here on the stairway. 7, that's a nice number. Mr. Just Right, behind the mic, well-rested, and here to talk Steelers football after the bye. With me, as always, my co-host, Bad News, B-Rye. What's up, man?
What's up, Mikey? Feels good heading into that bye week, getting a nice Steeler win in a tough division matchup. We had a nice break from Steelers Sunday this past weekend, and now I'm just kind of ready to get back on the saddle.
What do you got going on in your bye weeks? Do you just watch more football? Do you try to do something with that Sunday or what?
This time I decided to just watch football. Just spend Sunday, get the red zone going on one TV, get another game going on the other, and just kind of focus on the fantasy teams, which comes with its own pros and cons, headaches here and there, but it's a little cleansing to have a week to kind of not worry about the Steelers, how their offense is going to perform. But ultimately we're here to watch the Steelers and ready for another week.
That's right. Yeah, I see you're right behind me there in the standings. I think your team looks a little bit better than mine. Might be a little bit of fool's gold, my record, but you're creeping up on me here. So we're neck and neck. We might be seeing each other come playoff time in the old Dub League. I tried to take a break, honestly, this week. I actually had to get some work done. I ran electric with my father-in-law, which is always an adventure. I'm not an electrician by trade. He is. I'm trying to learn how to do it. It's not like plumbing, right, where if you screw it up, stuff just gets wet. I mean, it could kill you. There's some carpentry work involved. You kind of got everything going. I bopped my head on the rafters. So if I seem a little bit off today, I might be a little bit concussed. But I didn't tune into football until after dinner to catch up on the fantasy teams. But our Steelers, B-Rye, we kind of lamented the last time we were on the air. Tough loss. We're wondering, is this going to be a tailspin from here on out? But we were able to rebound against the Ravens at home. And we went into the bye week at the top of the AFC North. So what more can you ask for? So we look back on it, right? We only have 2 losses on the season to the Niners and the Texans, both Super Bowl caliber teams. I mean, let's be honest, right? I mean, nothing to be ashamed of losing to 2 teams like the Niners and the Texans. So, maybe things aren't as bad as they seem. I think, though, I was just talking about electricity, B-Rye, and speaking of which, I think our offense is still looking for that electricity, but some signs of life, perhaps, at the end of the last game. So let's get into it, shall we? B-Rye, this one started off not good. We started out in a hole, 10-0, pretty quickly. And then we got a big play from our buddy. We talk about him quite a bit on this show, Larry O, I think, with the big strip. I think that was a key point in the game turnaround, because I think if the Ravens march down the field at that point and score again, it's going to be really tough for us to come back. Right out of our offensive coordinator's mouth, we're just not built to come back from leads at all, apparently. But we did in this game. We flubbed our way to 17 points somehow. B-Rye, what stood out to you in this game against the Ravens? What were the turning points? What were the highlights, low lights? Just to recap it from your perspective and our Steelers' big win against the Ravens there.
Yeah, really what you said with the Ravens coming out and dominating that first quarter. You saw Flowers, who we pointed out in the previous episode. They had a hard time covering him, as expected. Justin Hill was getting some runs. Lamar looked really fluid. He was breaking off some big plays. And then early in the second quarter, it looked like they were going to go up by 2 touchdowns, and they kind of shot themselves in the foot there with 2 huge drops in the end zone, one by Andrews, one by Rashad Bateman. And then, as you point out, the next possession, Ogunjobi with that huge, huge game-changing force fumble, chasing down the runner. For a big guy, he can move. He hustles, and it really paid off this time. And I think that really, kept the game close. At that point, you started seeing the offense make a few plays finally here and there. Pickens immediately started showing up. They led to that to a field goal in the second quarter. Yet Mark Andrews, he continued making plays, very hard to cover. But as you saw, the Steelers' pass rush really began gaining steam and getting to Lamar very quickly in the second quarter. Then you had TJ with that huge sack. You had them starting to get hits on Lamar, which as the game went on, you can definitely tell that he didn't like it. But he kept fighting. He's a great quarterback. And then at the end of the second quarter there was a curious play by Harbaugh or a decision by Harbaugh when they decided to go for it instead of getting the easy three off of Justin Tucker, the guaranteed three. Really, in these tough, tight AFC North division games, some people say 3 points is as good as a touchdown. You got to get your points when you can. So really a questionable decision there that I think kind of had consequences as the game went along.
Yeah, that was a 4th and 2, and they about the 30, 20, something like that in that range, and they went for it, and they took a shot. I think it was to Flowers in the end zone, overthrown. Another huge turning point in the game for sure. You mentioned the Ravens flubs there from their receivers, and I just want to point out that Baltimore has 4 first-round draft pick wide receivers on their roster. I think the Steelers have one. A-Rob might have been a first rounder, maybe not.
Yeah,
I could be
think he was.
I could be thinking wrong, but 4 first-round receivers for a team that's always asking, to get those weapons. You got Bateman, you got Aguilar, you have OBJ, and now you have Flowers. And it seems like we're going to be talking a lot about Flowers in the years to come. And he had a nice little game. But he also had a crucial stumble on that Heinz Field turf on a deep shot, where if he just stayed on his feet, it's probably a walk-in touchdown. So not necessarily a drop, but kind of a mistake in tracking that ball and stumbling over his own feet that could have helped them seal the game. Aguilar, too, I believe it was in the second half, dropped one right in a bread basket that was probably a walk-in touchdown. But B-Rod, don't you agree that it was kind of nice to see another offense shoot themselves in the foot as opposed to our own to lose the game?
It really was. And, there's a part of me that wants to say Steelers got lucky. They should have lost that game. But at the end of the day, these are the Ravens wide receivers. Aguilar is very well known across the league for dropping balls. Flowers, you're depend who I love. I think he's, a great prospect. He's obviously a playmaker immediately, but you're depending on rookies to be your go-to guy. These kind of things can happen. So really, did the Steelers get lucky, or is just this the Ravens receiving core and something you'd expect to happen every once in a while?
Yeah, they got fortunate. They clawed their way back into the game. We talked about this in the last game. These are just how these games go. 16-10, 17-10, and here we got another one. I was looking back through the highlights, and I was trying to remember how they even got to 17 points because at one point they had 8 points, right? So they missed another 2-point conversion. As well, after that Pickens touchdown, which you don't like to see. I think our red zone offense is struggling mightily, and that's something we definitely need to improve. We had a couple failed ventures down there again in this game. Of course, the Pickens touchdown was a long bomb, a couple field goals off Boswell's toe, which has been very reliable this year, and that's good to see because he had a down year a couple years ago, and we just got to hope that continues because he's really keeping us in the game. Of course, we had a couple of huge sacks as well, one from TJ, obviously the strip sack from Highsmith at the end of the game. And then curiously, B-Rye, we thought it was all wrapped up, right? When we got that strip sack and we went to kick a field goal and got what was an illegal shift penalty against the Okorafor that basically gave them another timeout for free, which allowed them to get the ball back with more than enough time to march down the field and score. I thought we all had it signed, sealed, and delivered. And silly penalty right there that could, in these kind of games, could very easily turn the tides at the last minute, literally. So we want to clean that up. Again, running game Again, B-Rai, we'll get into that in a second. I think left a little bit to be desired. But we had, I think, a huge, huge game from Jaylen Warren to give us some momentum on some of his catches and runs and a few runs as well. So we want to see him continue to get mixed in a little bit more alongside Najee. Najee as well, I want to point out, B-Rai, I think it was a fourth and short. They went for it, and Najee got stuffed. It might have been a third down. I can't remember. But they only needed a few yards. Yeah. Najee had his jeans on tight for this game, I think, as well. And I think he was probably under 4 yards to carry. But let's get into the box score, shall we? And we'll break down some of these players individually, talk a little bit more about what happened here. So looking at Kenny Pickett, obviously he was coming off injury the week before, so I didn't really see too many ill effects there from him. He didn't have any yards on the ground, so he wasn't maybe as mobile as we would expect. 18 for 32, 224 yards, and of course the big touchdown to George Pickens. He was sacked 3 times and no interceptions, which I think was huge. And it was nice to see Pickens get that over Marlon Humphreys on his return on the season. So all you can say here, you know, nothing sticking out on the score sheet for Kenny, but he did protect the ball and he stayed fairly upright most of the game. No huge mistakes. B-Rai, what do you think about Kenny's performance in this game?
Yeah, he definitely got a slow start, but he showed that clutch gene that we've seen over his short career. So better late than never, but you definitely want to see him get going earlier in the game. I don't think that's all his fault. I think a lot of it's play calling, just kind of like attitude heading into games where they want to establish their run, so they might hand it to Najee a bunch of times. But really, like, they need to find ways to get it going earlier. We'll talk a little bit more about that later. But in the end, Kenny found a way to win, and you want it to be cleaner, you want it to be earlier, but he did find a way to win.
He did, and I just want to talk about that touchdown pass real quick, because this was kind of a little bit of a meme and point of discussion, because, of course, they have a camera right underneath Matt Canada's nose all game to see his reaction. And when Kenny threw that pass to George right over the top of Marlon Humphreys, a little sneaky push off at just the right time by George on that one as well to get separation at just the right time and not draw a flag. But that's the kind of veteran move you like to see from him, from the alpha, I think, at this point of the receiving core. But the big thing was Matt Canada's reaction to it. B-Rai drew a lot of criticism because he really didn't have a reaction. He either didn't have any reaction at all, where everyone else in the booth was very excited, obviously. He just took the lead with under 2 minutes to go. Huge division matchup to go into first place. He either had no reaction or he was on the verge of tears because the play call was so perfect. B-Rai, which do you think it was?
So originally, when I heard that there was an audible, that my thought was, can he change the play? He's not happy about it. It went against what he called. And that was the only explanation at first. But then I started hearing a little bit more. And really, Kenny just made an adjustment. Him and I think the center made an adjustment with the protection scheme. So that play, from what I hear, was what the play was supposed to be. That was George Pickens' route. And I think that Canada was probably in shock a little bit, and then maybe thinking about his next move.
Yeah, his job is safe. He's still here, by the way. So maybe Kenny bailed him out there. Maybe he did him a solid for his new pen pal or whatever Canada's supposedly new role was within the offense. But I think he might have spared him there, because if they only put up 10 points in that, well, at that point it was what? It would have been 8 points they had. Regardless, if they don't score a touchdown in that game, I mean, the seat is red hot at that point. So good on Kenny if he did audible out of that. Perfect ball to George to take the lead. So nothing too much to complain about there. You just want to see more, I think, high percentage throws. And we'll talk a little bit about that when we get into the pass catchers. But looking at the running backs, Jaylen Warren paced the backfield with 40 yards on 9 carries, 4.4 average, and a long of 16. Najeen Harris, 14 carries for 37 yards, 2.6 average, and a long of 8. George had a end around or jet sweep, I can't remember which one it was, for 16 yards on a nice little play. So good to see him getting involved in other ways. And Kenny had negative 6 yards on whatever he was doing, 6 carries, they called it. So thoughts on the ball carriers, B-Rye?
So if you look at the 5 games played, and I know it's, you know, not the best stat to point out, but Najee still does have a better rushing average at 3.99 yards per carry versus Jaylen. But, and I'm not saying that means Najee's better. I think they need to start approaching games a little differently. As we know, it's been a couple years now where they just don't know how to start games. Sometimes they can finish it, which is great, but you need to start games quicker. You need to score. You need to help your defense out immediately. So why don't they just start coming out with Warren? Get him the ball early. Get some spark going. Get the defense on their heels. Get them worn out. And then bring, you know, sprinkle Najee in, obviously, and, you know, short yardage and stuff like that too. But make him the guy that comes in second half and defenses are worn out and just fearing him. I mean, he's still a, in my opinion, a good running back. He's just not right for this current setup with this O-line who's not really making many holes. He's literally getting tackled behind the line of scrimmage on every play. So he's not a guy that makes a lot out of nothing. So start with Jaylen, finish your games with Najee, and I think you'll see a better offense if you just make those little tweaks.
Well, I really like that. You might want to get in line behind Byron Leftwich on the the applications for the offensive coordinator there. Yeah, a lot of Warren's touches have come later in the games when they're already trailing, a lot of these dump offs and stuff. Maybe get them both out there on the field at the same time a few times just to keep the defense thinking. Jaylen has just been great on those little screen passes, dump offs, and really making things happen after that. That's really where he's excelled. We know he's capable of ripping off big runs too. We saw a 60-some yarder in a preseason from him. I really like that plan of attack. Get him involved early because the offense does need to get going sooner. They're just stalling out too early, asking too much of the defense to keep them in the game until the end. And I would like to see more of Warren for sure, but he did pace the running backs in this game on the ground. He had a couple of nice broken tackles. I think he jumped over a guy, a clean hurdle as well. I mean, I thought the energy that he brought there in the second half really, really helped that team, you know, obviously stay on the field, but really propel them to the finish line there. So good game from Jaylen Warren, a real standout game from him. But we need to see more yards on the ground overall. 87 total is all we had. So this is a team that I think designed itself around running the ball and priding themselves off of running the ball. And you need more than 87 yards on the ground, especially when your opponent is putting up 125 and getting nice runs from Gus Edwards and Justice Hill, of all people. I mean, come on, we can do better there for sure.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to the pass catchers. Obviously, a huge game from George Pickens. 6 catches, 130 yards, the big touchdown, 41 yards on 10 targets. B-Rai, I think it's safe to say George is him for the Steelers right now. Obviously, and I think even when Deontay comes back, he's kind of evolving into that more complete player a little bit. But I think you and I were talking during the game about how a lot of his catches, well, they're making the play happen, these little timing throws, back shoulder, on the sideline, just kind of low percentage plays, right? George is making them happen. I think he can go up and make those contested catches better than just about anybody in the league right now. But what do you think about some of these routes that we're running, these kind of stop timing routes, back shoulder, where you kind of run the streak and then you stop, back shoulder, on the sideline? I mean, it's just kind of low percentage, don't you think?
Yeah, those are really hard throws to make. And at some point it becomes a little bit predictable. I think they, maybe it's because he had so many more targets, but I thought they used him a little bit more in other ways. He took a big hit over the middle on a nice catch. I can't remember what quarter it was, but it was nice to see that, because I don't want him to just be the jump ball guy. He's a number one receiver. He's shown the ability to be one. So they need to find different ways to get on the ball, not just those acrobatic sideline catches that are, you know, there's a chance that it just doesn't work out. So you got to get him high percentage. I think he's pretty good after the catch too. He's proven that. So get him the ball in other ways.
Yeah, I agree. And we saw the run from him, and I think you're going to see more of him going forward, no doubt, especially as that chemistry continues to grow with Kenny, hopefully. Jaylen Warren was second from the pass catchers, 3 catches for 39 yards. He had a long of 23. I think in that it was probably in that second half big play that really propelled them. 3 targets there for him. A-Rob followed up, 5 catches, 29 yards. That's pretty much his role. He's going to catch 3 to 5 balls a game for less than 30 yards. I mean, he's just that short yardage guy for them. But he's been pretty reliable, a nice little security blanket. Connor Hayward filled in this game. He got 3 catches for 23 yards. I think we've been kind of waiting to see him get mixed in a little bit more, of course, without Freiermuth in this one. Not too surprising to see him more involved there. But I think they have a lot of trust in Connor to do more things. So I won't be surprised if you see a little bit more of him going forward, even when Freiermuth comes back. Najee had 1 catch for 3 yards, and that was it, B-Rye. So overall, no catches from Boykin, obviously. Austin, I think, was targeted maybe on that 2-point conversion, and that was it. Darnell Washington had a couple of failed targets as well. What do you think about the pass catchers overall in this game?
We definitely need Deontay back. We need a route runner like him, who is, I think, a very nice number 2 receiver. But I did like what I saw from Hayward. He just has a knack for getting open. I get excited every time the ball's in his hand. I feel like he can make a play for a big guy. A-Rob, he's Mr. Dependable. You know, he's definitely limited physically at this point in his career. And I did look up. He was a second-round pick. Jacksonville Jaguars, 61st overall, 2014 draft. But I think he's a nice compliment. I'd actually like to see a little bit more Austin. I don't know if that's part of the game plan, or if he just, you know, maybe he's a one-trick pony. I don't really know, but I'd like to see his speed used a little bit more. But we have a nice complement of receivers. I think as the year goes on, they'll start to develop kind of their role within this offense. And I'm kind of excited about seeing how they get utilized as the year goes on.
Another receiver got involved in a different way. He had 1 nice return, but he also had a fatal fumble. Our boy, I think you were wearing his jersey this game. We are trying to get him pumped up. Gunnar Olszewski with a huge fumble right after they were getting some momentum there late in the game. Huge, huge fumble. And I can't believe he's still on the team, quite honestly. I mean, just costly mistake after costly mistake from him.
It angers me. And like, even if he would have, and they would end up losing the game, I feel like he still would have been on the team. That's just how stubborn this coaching staff is. I read somewhere that on the 28 total touches that Gunnar has had as a Steeler, he has fumbled the ball 4 times.
Wow.
That is crazy. Unbelievable. He's just an accident waiting to happen.
Yep.
You know, this tight game against a division rival, 5 minutes and 30 seconds left in the game, and he fumbles when we're down 10-8.
Yeah.
And he's still on the roster. We'll see. I know there's been some transactions that we'll go over later, but yeah. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah. Not. I mean, I think at this point next year you can count on him not being back. But I don't like seeing him back there on these punt returns. And I'm not sure who else they're going to put back there, because it sounds like they're going to cut ties with Desmond King as well, who has experience returning kicks as well. Let's move on to the defense, shall we? Cole Holcomb. I don't remember too much from him in this game on film, honestly, but he led the team with 8 solo tackles, 9 total. He had 1 tackle for loss, 1 pass defense, and 1 quarterback hit. Minka had 9 tackles, 7 solo. Landon Roberts, 8 total, 5 solo. Quan Alexander, I think, had a real nice game. 6 solo tackles, 1 sack, 3 tackles for loss. And a nice game from Quan, wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. He was all over the place. He hits hard. He makes plays. Honestly, this entire middle linebacker group I've been very happy with. Sure, you don't have a superstar here, but you got guys that can do certain things very well. Quan's just always around the ball. Holcomb, he was around the ball too. He's pretty good in coverage. That's what we heard about him coming out, and he hasn't been like teams aren't picking on him. He's held his own. Landon, I don't think he's been as visible lately. Maybe that's because some of the other guys are getting more comfortable, but he still continues to make downhill tackles. I think when you play the Ravens, who like to run a lot, he still has value. So I think immediately 6 games in or 5 games in, you have to be happy about this group. I would say they're better than what we've had recently.
Yeah, they're all kind of playing their roles, I think, and the late addition of Quan has been huge. I mean, honestly, I think if he can stay healthy and kind of keep up this pace, we might be talking about a Pro Bowl type season from him, because he's just made a lot of big plays. He's kind of that jack of all trades, just running around all over the field. Holcomb has been good in coverage, and Landon just makes tackles. So overall, I think the moves they've made at middle linebacker have more than, you know, kind of held up the bargain there that they were looking for, stopgap season, if you will, with these guys coming in. And you might see all 3 of them potentially come back next year. I still think you're going to look at maybe a higher draft pick in that range to maybe get your stalwart there. But heck, I mean, at this point, it's definitely a passing grade for all these guys.
Yeah.
Keanu Neal had 5 solo tackles. Levi Wallace, 3 solo tackles, 1 pass defense. I didn't notice him as much. I'm sure he was getting picked on a little bit, but nothing stuck out like a sore thumb.
That's a good thing.
From him in this game, right? KZ had 3 tackles, 1 solo. Benton, same thing, 3 tackles, 1 solo, and 1 quarterback hit. TJ Watt obviously had 2 big sacks in this one and 2 passes defense as well. A couple swats from him. So obviously a huge, just impactful game from TJ. I mean, we've been seeing it all year long, pretty much every game except for the venerable Houston Texans, where they just shut him down with that just, you know, historic offensive line that they have down there in Houston. Even their backups are stellar. Of course they shut TJ Watt down, but all season long he's just been doing his thing. I'm not sure, B-Rod, do you know where he's at now after the bye on the sack lead in the league?
Sack lead, I do not have it, but I do have an interesting stat about him. And also real quick before I forget, did you see the replay of him punching Zay Flowers in the throat and knocking him over?
I don't believe he would do such thing. I saw the replay of Lamar trying to punch him or slap him in the face when he was returning that fumble. And I was really hoping TJ just buried him into the ground and ran that in for a touchdown, B-Rive. All Lamar could do was just kind of like slap box him a little bit. He did get him down, but could you imagine if he put Lamar down? That would just been an all-time highlight.
Man.
But no, I didn't see him
I'll send it to
Zay
you.
Flowers.
It's funny, like, because TJ, he's not a dirty guy. He was going to punch the ball out as the reception was about to happen. And he just missed and just punched him right in the throat and just knocked him over. He ended up getting fined for that, actually. Apparently, you can't punch guys in the throat. So, but yeah, huge game by TJ. Huge, huge year. I think, what's he have, like 6 sacks?
He's got 8.
And he already has
got. He's got 8, and he's tied for the league with 8. Danelle Hunter of Minnesota. Yep.
Okay. So, I mean, he played this game, and no surprise, finger dislocated. He just popped it back in play, kept playing the rest of the game. But I did hear, there was a report from Matt Williamson that he averages 1.2 sacks per game since 2021, and there's no other player in the NFL since that time that has an average of over 1 sack per game. So he's leaps and bounds more impactful on a game-per-game basis than any other edge rusher out there.
Yeah, that's right. And a lot of his sacks this year have just come at crucial, crucial times. So he's been keeping us afloat, quite honestly. He's our team MVP at this point, no questions asked. And of course, he's in the running for Defensive Player of the Year. All right, finishing out here, Shandon Sullivan had two solo tackles. Alex Highsmith obviously had that big strip sack on Lamar. That was his only solo tackle of the game. He had another assist. Montrevious Adams, two assists. Same with Laddermilk and Joey Porter Jr. Obviously, let's stop right here and talk about JPJ, B-Rye, and the huge interception he had right in the face of Odell Beckham Jr.
Yeah, right after, and it was a timely play too. You know, it would have been huge for the Ravens to score at this time of the game. You had Lamar just, you know, driving down the field. Odell Beckham, everyone knows his name, so they decide to pick on Joey Porter, and really a terrible throw, but at the same time, JPJ had himself in position.
Yes,
every time he shows up, which is nearly not enough, he is in position. He's not beat, but he picked the ball off. It was game changing. He told Odell Beckham to go be a family man after the interception, which is pretty funny.
Love it.
So he's got his father's, you know, trash talking, which is legendary. And I just hope we, you know, maybe I'd put him in full time, but if not full time, they need to really up his playing time. He looks good.
Yeah, they're not committing to it quite yet, but just a timely, timely play. It's his second huge timely pass defense this year in a game with that limited playing time. So obviously, I think we're all pining to see what he could do on more of a full-time basis, no doubt. And, you know, we deal with a lot of Steelers haters here in the Stairway. A lot of our friends just don't like the Steelers for whatever reason. They should, but they don't. They picked other teams because they have flashy colors or good records or whatever, you know, however they pick their teams. And they'll say, you know, terrible throw. And it wasn't the best throw, no doubt. But when you're dealing with a guy who's 6'3", what are you going to do? Put it up over top of him? I mean, he had him boxed out right on the sidelines. There was no way that ball was getting through, even if it was a perfect throw. He would have just jumped up and swatted it away. So that's what you do. That's the ups and downs you get with Lamar Jackson, who I think it's pretty safe to say we just have his number at this point. He's a threat. He's obviously an MVP, a perennial MVP candidate. He could be an all-time great quarterback, no doubt. But the Steelers just, he gets his yards. He gets his little scrambles, no doubt. He's going to get those against pretty much anybody. There's really nothing you can do to stop it. But they pretty much have his number when it all boils down to it. So you love to see it, and hopefully we just keep seeing more of that. Patrick Peterson, I didn't notice a lot from him in this game, Bri. Probably a good thing. He's been getting picked on a little bit this season. Up and down year for him, no doubt. Miles Killebrew had a tackle. Miles Killebrew also huge blocked punt. Bri, a little bit of a mixed bag here for the special teams, but how crucial was that blocked punt?
It was huge, and he's maybe our best special teams player. And this isn't his first block punt. I don't know how many he's had over the years, but it was very timely. It's one of those kind of plays where when you're playing the Ravens and points are hard to come by, this was huge. And it nearly became a touchdown with Rodney Williams, the tight end that they brought up from the practice squad, I believe. He made a good effort, almost recovered in the end zone, but getting that 2 points was pretty big.
Inches away from being a touchdown on that Rodney Williams recovery. I think they just brought him up from the practice squad. But, yeah, Danny Smith gets those guys fired up on special teams, and they've been having a pretty solid year, I would say, overall. And, of course, that play really, really turned the tide of the game, got them back into it. And, yeah, huge play from Killebrew. Just really our special teams ace, no doubt about it. Larry O only had one tackle, but of course we talked about it earlier. Huge strip there. Christian Kuntz added an assist. Armand Watts with one. James Pierre with one. Marcus Golden didn't get much playing time in this one, but he did have a hit on the quarterback. No tackles for him, though. Always nice to remember we have Marcus Golden in our back pocket, though. But obviously we don't want to see him too much on the score sheet because that probably means somebody went down. No show from Herbig again, but again, this just speaks to the health of the team right now on defense in particular. Keeping TJ and Highsmith healthy and in the lineup, those guys really don't have to play too much. Any other thoughts on the defensive unit here, B-Rai, from this game?
I love Keanu Benton. He's a player. I've seen enough to know that he's going to be a mainstay starter for years to come. They need to, along with the other rookies, they need to get him some more playing time. I read an interesting tidbit from Ray Fittipaldo of the Post-Gazette. He said that Benton has played just 38% of the snaps in the first five games. In those five games, he has 13 tackles, a sack, a forced fumble. And to me, he shows up on film a lot more than his numbers. You got to remember, this is a big guy. He's really controlling the line of scrimmage. He's not always making a tackle or getting a sack.
Yep.
He shows up. He's a big man, and he can move. In comparison, you have Montrevious Adams, who has been basically the starter. He's played 63% of the snaps. So he's playing almost twice as much as Benton, and he has only 13 tackles and one forced fumble for the year. So Benton, a rookie, has outproduced him with playing almost half as much.
Yeah, and he wasn't a huge sack guy in college, but like you said, controlling the line of scrimmage, he's going to be more in that vein of a Cam Hayward where, you know, he's really never going to win a defensive player of the year. He's not going to rack up a ton of sacks. He's not always going to show up in the highlights. But he's an identity guy, I think, for that defensive line long term. And I think we kind of got a steal there in the second round. Again, you know, someone who isn't going to make all these splash plays, but he has made a few this season. He has, like you mentioned. But overall, he's just going to be a stalwart, I think, is a good way to describe him there on the D-line for many years to come. And maybe this injury to Hayward is a little bit of a blessing in disguise to get him these snaps early. And you can't, you know, this type of seasoning, you can't scoff at. I mean, it's going to be crucial going forward. Hopefully we get Cam back and then we're really cooking on the D-line. So it'll be interesting to see how the rest of the season unfolds here. But nonetheless, it's a 17-10 victory, 17 unanswered points in a comeback victory. All three phases of the game contributing: offense, special teams, and defense. That's the Pittsburgh Steelers, man. I think we both picked against them in this one. And if it weren't for those huge plays from the defense and special teams, we'd still be asking the same questions we were after the Houston game. Is this offense our Achilles? Well, the offense, I think, at this point is our Achilles heel. We just are seeing baby steps from them every week, I think. And we need to start taking some more leaps ahead, no doubt about it, to be really in the discussion for, you know, at least maybe the division at the end of the year. I don't think there's any way this team keeps up with the real juggernauts of the AFC NFC. You need an offense, I think, in today's NFL, a higher powered offense to keep you in the games. You just cannot rely on these strip sacks at the exact right times, interceptions. It's great to see, obviously, but we need more from the offense. We need to be able to score multiple touchdowns a game from them. And hey, if the offense is scoring more, that means they have the ball more, and I think our defense will be better for it. They'll get more rest, and we won't have to lean on them as much. So even though we went into the bye, Bri, at the top of the division, it's a little bit concerning still that we're still here talking about the offense and what this team could be if we had any resemblance of a consistent contributing offense. So hopefully we see something a little bit different out of the bye, get a few guys healthy here, Deontay, get Freiermuth back maybe this week too. That being said, we do have a few injuries to talk about. B-Rai, you want to run those down for us? Where are we at?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have Deontay Johnson and Anthony McFarland. They are designated to return from IR. They were both full participants on Wednesday. With Deontay, he says he's going to play. It sounds like he's full go-ahead for the game. McFarland, I haven't heard too much, but so far he said he feels really good, and he's ready to get back out there. So maybe we'll hear a little bit more as the week goes on with him. Freiermuth was also a full participant Wednesday. Sounds like he's going to play. And then we have Presley Harvin. He practiced in full, so it'll be nice to get him back. And also James Daniels and Dan Moore Jr., they practiced in full. It sounds like they're ready to go, too. We'll talk about whether we want Dan Moore starting or not in a little bit, but he is healthy, helps our depth no matter what. And then last, we have rookie linebacker Nick Herbig, who has kind of been a little hidden lately. I haven't seen a lot from him since early in the year or even preseason, but he's limited with a quad. We'll keep an eye on him. And, with the exception of Cam Hayward, I think we're really healthy coming out of the bye now.
Yeah, and whether or not the early bye, week five bye, is a good thing remains to be seen. I think you'll take 3-2, top the division going into it, but there's a lot of season left coming out of it. And obviously we're still waiting on Hayward towards the end of the year as well to come back. Shout out, you mentioned there, Presley Harvin. Shout out to Brad Wing the last couple games. He had 6 punts, 257 yards worth, 42.8 average. 2 inside the 20. Serviceable return from Brad Wing to fill in for Presley Harvin, who was showing some better games right up until his injury there. He had a few nice games. Boswell, I think, is still perfect on the year. He was 3-for-3 in this one, too. So just want to not forget the special teams, the kickers there, because they definitely played a role in this one, too. Any transactions, B-Rod? You kind of tease some transactions. What, anything to note? I know we had a guy poached from our practice squad, but what else happened?
Who was poached? Yeah, I forgot to mark that down, but I did want to discuss Desmond King. It looks like former Pro Bowl cornerback, kick returner Desmond King, who we were kind of excited about getting at the at the beginning of the year here, but it didn't work out. We're going to see, maybe he's washed up. Maybe it's maybe it's too hard for him to hop on a moving train as the season already started. Maybe it's, I don't always trust the coaches. Sometimes I don't think they're the best judgment of cornerbacks. So we'll see if he has anything left, but maybe he's kind of washed. They did in his replacement sign cornerback Darius Rush from the Chiefs practice squad. He was a 5th-round pick in this year's draft out of South Carolina. So I think he has speed from what I've read. So maybe he's someone who can eventually be a contributor.
I think it was the Eagles poached a corner from our practice squad, but I don't have his name right in front of me at this point. You did mention AMAC. Anthony McFarland, who had a nice preseason as well on the ground, but maybe he could be a gunner replacement. He's returned some kicks as well, so maybe he'll step in there to replace both King and Gunner. I think both need to be replaced at this point. All right. So, yeah, Darius Rush. I'm reading that right now. All right. Time to get on a plane, B-Rye, and fly all the way out west. We talked a little bit about this last night on the Pick Show. We've had some issues with the planes this year, not being able to get us home. First and foremost, do you think our plane, I think we're flying at Southern Airways or Spirit Airlines or something now. Do you think we're going to be able to get to LA, B-Rye?
Oh, I hope so. I mean, at this point, they might as well just fly like on Monday and, practice there the rest of the week just in case. But we'll see if there's any more plane issues. I think there's going to be some conspiracy theories out there, but it's not that far away, so hopefully they get there in time.
So obviously we're going to LA SoFi Stadium to play the Rams, who are a little bit of a surprise this year. They're 3-3, but I think Matt Stafford has come back and looked well. Cooper Kupp seems to be to full speed. Puka Nacua obviously is going to be a problem. What do we have to look out for in this matchup? I think obviously their offense is going to give us a little bit of a fit here, B-Rai. I picked the Rams last night. I just think they might be a little bit too tough to keep up with at home, on the road. Who do we got to look out for in this game, B-Rai? Any matchups to focus on? How are we going to handle the Rams?
Yeah, so we got a little lucky on the injury front with their running game. So Kyren Williams, who has had a really good year. I thought last week, because I have him on one of my fantasy teams. I thought last week he looked pretty explosive, looked real good. He's injured. He's going to miss a couple games. Their backup, Ronnie Rivers, also injured. He's expected to miss multiple games. So they brought Royce Freeman up from the practice squad. They signed Daryl Henderson and Miles Gaskin. I think the first man up is going to be rookie sixth-round pick Zach Evans, who has been their number three running back this year. He has a little bit of speed. He had some talent, but he kind of fell in the draft. But I think it really helps the Steelers out. Not that they can just ignore the running game because, you know, it's a talented team, and this Zach Evans might have some speed. So, but it does help you focus on the key weapons that they have. My God, I mean, this receiving core with Kupp, obviously one of the best receivers maybe of all time. And then you have Puka Nacua, you have even Tutu Atwell is a very, very solid number three receiver. Matt Stafford is a pro. When he's healthy, he's among the best quarterbacks in the league. So it's going to be a big, big, big challenge. Really, it has to be, I think you obviously need some pass rush. You need the edge guys to really get at them. You need to get creative with your blitz. You need to hit Stafford. You know, he's had a decent amount of injuries over the years. So I think if you get to him quickly, get him hard, wear him as the game goes on, you kind of have to do that, because when you think about these receivers and the way they match up against our zone coverage, it's just, it could be a long, 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 long day.
Yeah. And you mentioned the running backs there, and the Steelers can be had on the ground for sure. So I think putting in a rookie and some practice squad guys there might tip the scales just enough, maybe. But I won't be surprised if you see one or multiple of those guys still get some yards on the ground. We don't have to worry about Stafford too much like we did Lamar in the previous game. But he gets the ball out quick. He gets it out quick to Kupp, and he gets it out quick to Nacua now too, and Tutu Atwell, you mentioned. So that could be the deciding factor. Is our pass rush going to be able to get to him quick enough to make those game-changing plays that, quite honestly, we're really relying on at this point to happen to keep us in these games or to win us these games outright, quite honestly. That's going to be the thing to watch. Kupp and Nacua are probably both going to have field days, I would say. Higby, you got to watch out for him too, although we kind of, you know, Andrews got his last game, but I think we've been dealing a little bit better with the tight end, so we'll keep an eye on him too. Like you mentioned, Holcomb is decent in coverage as well, but their offense against our scheme is going to be the thing to watch here. Obviously on defense, we got to keep an eye on Aaron Donald as well. The Pittsburgh kid there, you know, he's obviously going to be a factor. I just wonder, can our offense get it together here after the bye to be able to keep up with, I think, the points the Rams are inevitably going to put up? I mean, it just feels like we're asking the defense to come in here and put Stafford on his back again and create turnovers. The offense hasn't proven they can put up more than 20 points in a game yet. Score those multiple. We're going to need three touchdowns, I think, to win this game. If we do get three touchdowns, I think we can win. But that's asking a lot from this offense right now. So who you taking, B-Rye?
I could see the Steelers win, but I can't pick them. Like you said, how do you expect this offense to come up with three touchdowns? And that's what's going to take against this offense. This is a very legit offense. I don't have a great feeling about it with just the way they line up with our defense. If we're going to win, it's going to take some help from some guys, like some of our rookies, for example. JPJ, if he can come in and maybe lock down one of those receivers, that would be huge. But I understand, you know, there might be a risk there. You might not want to hurt their confidence, because you throw a rookie out against Cobb, against Kupp, but I don't think that's the right move. But maybe put him on Puka Nacua. You need some contributions from the rookies, but I just think it's going to be too much to overcome.
Yeah, yeah, and I hope we're wrong again. That's all I can say. Looking at the history, the Rams lead the all-time series 15-10-2. So they have a couple ties sprinkled in there, I believe. Yeah, Super Bowl 14, obviously. This is a rematch of Super Bowl 14. The Los Angeles Rams at the time fell to the Steelers 31-19. The Steelers have won four straight against the Rams. The Rams last beat the Steelers. St. Louis Rams last beat the Steelers in 2003. And the last time they played was 2019, and the Steelers prevailed 17-12 in that one. So we got a little bit of a winning streak going on here against the Rams. We'll see if it continues. And yeah, the offenses are going to be the story of the game here. The Rams are 3-point favorites, it looks like, at home. That feels about right. All the betting money is going, it looks like, right now towards the Rams, from what I can see. So maybe that is a good sign. And the Steelers are now technically in second place behind Baltimore. It was a tough bye week for us. A lot of victories, of course, the Browns beating the Niners didn't help anything either. So we got some ground to make up. But a win in this week here would be pretty crucial, because looking ahead, we have, we have the Jags, where they're coming into town, and Trevor Lawrence is a little bit banged up. That'll be a very good game. Then we have the Titans, Packers, Browns, Bengals, Cardinals, Pats, Colts, Bengals, Seahawks, Ravens. So the schedule is winnable. You know, there's a lot of winnable games there, I think. So this team, if we can find our offense, could be in good shape at the end of the year, especially if they hold serve in the AFC North. Good one coming up this week. You can catch the game on Fox at 4:05, a late start this week. So you get to see all your 1 o'clock games, and your Steelers will be on at 4:05 on Fox. That's week 7. B-Rye, any final thoughts?
Definitely excited for another game. Get the season going. Get the bye week out of the way. Like I mentioned multiple times, so with the rookies, you know, I don't think we're going to see Broderick Jones this week, but really like what I saw from him. If we can just keep getting those young guys in there, get some guys back healthy, and hopefully we'll make a run here. Tomlin's been pretty good out of the bye in his career, so hopefully they heat up and make things interesting.
He straight up said, and sort of a Tomlinism, that they really don't care that a team's top receiver just abuses them. An interesting viewpoint from him. So let them have their yards, all their catches and whatnot. And I mean, at a point, he's kind of right. We saw that with Devontae Adams. He picked them apart, ate them alive, but you still get the win at the end of the day. It's about bending, not breaking. That's kind of been the theme for the defense this year. Making plays when it counts, and we're going to need them definitely on Sunday in LA. A lot of celebrities, we talked about it last night, B-Rye. A lot of celebrity Steelers fans will be out and about. Snoop Dogg maybe make an appearance. You know, a lot of Hollywood stars are big Steelers fans, so keep an eye out for Steelers Nation in LA. It'll be interesting to see how many Steelers fans are there. I'm guessing it's going to be quite a few. LA is known to kind of give up some seats to the visiting team. So we'll see you next week for week 8. We're both picking the Rams in this one, but honestly, it could go either way. B-Rye, thank you for joining me as always. For Bad News, this is Mr. Just Right. We'll see you in week 8. Here we go, Steelers.